Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this time, I'll be glad to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you tonight?
Doing it's great. To how about here. You? Good, good.
Yeah, great to be here at WWGH tonight. Another fine back and forth, which I have. You know, I noticed something I did last week was I called you Sean.
That's okay.
Right in the middle of the broadcast, I was thinking of something, and I called you Sean. I got a friend named Sean, so you became Sean the other night for just a minute. No, I haven't lost my mind yet. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Our number there is 740-494-2222. Love to have anyone come and visit that would love to. I think the way it's looking right now, we're looking a lot at being back pretty much in swing maybe the 1st of June. We're just going to pay attention and see what's going on. I think, you know, we kind of walk through the church and space some things out. And I think what we can do is, I think we can do the social distancing. And if I split Sunday into two services, I think we can make it happen. There's probably going to be some people that don't come back right off. And then there's going to be people that, you know, filter in. And, you know, it's interesting. I was having a discussion actually with my daughter today. And the discussion was about how people feel about this. And it's interesting because you have a group that are literally scared to death. They are so afraid they're going to catch this virus. And quite frankly, many of those, and I understand it, especially if you have a pre-existing condition and you're elderly, they're afraid of dying. Mm-hmm. And they honestly believe, if I get this, there's a strong chance I'll die. So you have that group. And then you have a group in the middle that's kind of, well, you know, I want to have precautions, but yet at the same time, you know, I'm just going to play it how it goes, and I'm not going to make a huge big deal about it. And then you have that third group that is the, this is all a hoax, this is crazy, we need to be back, you know, together. And as I've said before, I'm not a health expert, I'm not a infectious disease expert by any means, but one thing I do know is that as a pastor and as a church, we have to somehow figure out a way to come back to meeting and carry on as normal with, and at the same time, letting all three of those groups be at ease and be okay with how we do it. Now, do you have any good ideas about that, Terry? Because that's a tough one.
You
got some people that think, let's just rush in.
Right.
Some people that don't. So what you do is, I think you have to learn to accommodate those groups. And I think that it all comes back, you know, to understanding. Even if you feel that this is something that's been blown way completely out of proportion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's evidence at every end of the spectrum on this thing. I think that you have to be compassionate and understand the feelings of someone that feels that it's not. And I think that if you feel that it's a real danger, you kind of have to also understand the people that for their reason feel that it's something that's completely out of proportion. I don't like some of the numbers, and I'll be honest, some of the numbers I've looked at, whether or not they're accurate or not, I don't know. I don't like the, when we look back at now, they're saying this was here in January, and you look at the people in the time frame, it doesn't seem like it's quite as bad as it we originally, you remember, there was a time when Dr. Atkins said that, you know, we'd be saying 8,000 a day at its peak, and we certainly have never seen anything like that. So that was a great fear, and that gave people a lot of fear. But any type of sickness is dangerous, and I think that we need to pay attention. One term I don't really like at all is this term new normal. Mm-hmm. I don't like the new normal. I don't think we need a new normal. I think we just need to be doing what we always should have been doing. If new normal would include, let's be a little more conscientious of our health, of other people's health we're around, of coming to work and around people with the flu, with a sickness. Yeah, if that is a new normal, I'm good for it. Mm-hmm. But if this new normal thing is going to make us be afraid to hug someone or be afraid to be close to people, you know, we have enough problem with separation, with everybody shutting themselves in their houses with their computer. You know, we're losing a lot of our social ability and interaction as people because of social media and because of entertainment and those things that everyone wants to do in their house. And now if you give people a reason to stay indoors, you tell them they have to separate. You know, at what point do we become people that are – God designed us as a social being. That's what we're supposed to be. We interact with each other. Mm-hmm. That's how we grow. That's how we become better people. That's how we share His word. That's how we are a social person. And when we start doing things that make us not a social person, I'll tell you a story that happened a few years ago. It was kind of interesting. I was sitting on a porch swing with two older men, and they were a good bit older than I am. But I was there with them, and we're sitting there in this porch swing talking, and this young man comes walking down the sidewalk past the Dairy Queen, and he comes walking on down. He's probably about 15 years old, and we said, hey, buddy, how's it going today? And he just looked at us like, what do I say? And you know, that just kind of threw me for a minute. I thought, we scared him half to death by speaking to him. I mean, have we lost so much of our social interaction that we're beginning to be people that are a recluse? We see a lot of people like that don't want to come out of their room, that want to stay in, and we see that does not breed a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful that we get back socially and do things that we should. Right. I think that we have to pay attention to health guidelines and that things are safe. But, you know, when you look at it, you target the areas that make the most sense. You look at Florida and the low numbers they had. It was because when this first hit, their governor, DeSantis, right? I think. Governor went out and targeted nursing homes and the elderly as far as, let's get these people protected right now. And because of that, it saved that death rate so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done more of a broad approach here where, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, the young people. Now, we already know that although there have been some deaths with young people, and there has been young people that get it, and but the truth is, when a young person gets this, someone under the age of 30, 99.9% of the time, they're going to live through it. So their fear and risk of death isn't real high. But the thing that does scare some of them is, you know, I don't want to pass it on to my grandpa or my parents or my grandfather or my uncle. And there's that level of fear with them. But as I've talked to a lot of young people, that seems to be where the fear stops. If somebody else's grandpa dies, well, it affects old people. I don't have to worry about it. Run, you know, they're thinking, I can do what I want. This is probably going to kill me. I should be careful I don't go around grandma and grandpa. And that's where a lot of the non-distancing lies. And the other thing that strikes me with that is, have we become in a society that only care about things that personally affect me? Like my grandfather, my grandma, my aunt, my parents. Shouldn't we have a concern for other people's grandparents, other people's parents? So, you know, you wonder about those things. But, you know, I think we're going to eventually get through this thing. I don't know how soon the churches will be in full swing, but I certainly do hope that it's sooner than later. We need to, it's very hard to do communion this way, and people haven't been able to take communion, and when we were in the park, we did it in an interesting way. By the way, I think we will be doing, I got to make sure we can still do it, but I think we will be doing a drive-in service this Sunday, which will be, the weather's supposed to be great, and I think we can do that. But through all this, I'm starting to see a lot more people, especially if you really look at social media, you're seeing a lot of people that are really getting upset in different areas of this. And it seems to me that it might be a good idea. I know it interests all of us a lot. It's kind of like if you go back to the time of, I hope some of you listening are old enough to remember this, but the Iran crisis when they took the hostages. Remember? Mm-hmm. They took our hostages. And that's been, oh my word, what now? If I say 30 years ago, am I going to be way off?
1980.
Yeah. well, 40 years ago. So anyway, Ted Koppel was nobody. But he had this show, the news guy put him on Nightline, and his whole career was formed out of Nightline. Because you remember, every night at 11 o'clock, Ted Koppel came on, and he had the story for the day of what was going on with the hostages and the whole situation. And people stayed up. I did, and I was a young man. I stayed up and watched it and watched it and watched it. There's something about that that grips you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the governor's report every day at 2. You know, got to be in front of the TV at 2, whether he says anything new or not. The president talking at night, the news media, that's all they're talking about in one form or another. I mean, either it's directly the situation or it's something related to it. And we seem to be enamored by it. But I've come to the conclusion for myself watching it that it depresses me, man. Honestly, I get to the point where I can get up in the morning, I can talk to the Lord in the morning, I can pray, I can read my Bible, I can talk to my wife, I can plan my day in my mind, I can do all these things that are wonderful, and I listen to about 5 minutes of the news, and it's just like I got hit right straight in the gut. And, you know, I wonder if it isn't a good thing if people don't just stop doing that a little bit. You know, back off that news a little bit and just let themselves get on with their day. Look, if something important happens that is like, whoa, or, you know, you something you really need to know, you're going to know. Someone's going to tell you, unless you're living in complete isolation somewhere. And, the, you know, most people have a phone. If there's some important thing, it's going to pop up on their phone, right? But to sit in front of the news and let them feed you an endless diet of, oh, my word, the sky is falling, is something that I don't think any of us need. And I don't think it's good for us. I know the media has a job, but there's so many other things taking place. Really sad, good, happy but sad situation last night. Last night at Elgin High School was the FFA banquet, and where they swear in the new officers, and they give awards for the year. And, you know, we never miss that. And matter of fact, our grandson Eli, I was so proud of him, he got chapter farmer for this last school year. And our grandson Jonah is the vice president for next year. So that's some pretty thrilling stuff. But the point is, the only way we could watch it, even the only way his parents could do it, was to watch a live stream of it. And these kids practice for this thing, and it's a big event, and then they got to watch it on live stream. And those are some things. How about, with so many of these positive things going on, how about the news media take the time to feed some of those stories and, you know, talk more about the positive things that are going on? I think that all of us could stand to just slow down a little bit and listen. Terry, I'm going to take a minute here. Excuse me. Sure. I'm dry in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take just a minute, and I'm going to have you tell me how this has kind of affected you. How has this affected Terry's life?
Man, it's just... it's just drove me to the point to where, of course, I'm a sports junkie, so with no sports, I mean, it's... You know, I've just been crazy. I mean, you know, just not being able to interact really with anybody. I mean, it's driving me crazy. I mean,
kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
You know, when I get down, one thing that really picks me up is when I can pick up the Word of God and I can open it, and I can find those passages that are on fear, those passages that are on, you know, the Lord never leaving us, those passages on the promises we have for tomorrow. And I have to rest in those things. I was talking to my daughter earlier this evening, and, you know, she's got 6 kids, great kids. 2 of them I mentioned a few minutes ago. And all my kids have great kids. But I was talking to my daughter, and she said, you know, I don't know what to think of this. She said, you know, I get to the point where I look at the direction our country's going and the things that we're doing and how we're reacting to things and how easy it is to take an entire population and mold their thought pattern. And she said, Dad, she said, it scares me. It scares me for my kids and where we're headed with this. And I think that she made a good point. So I think that one thing I'd like to encourage everyone to please do is to think for yourself. look up things, read things, balance things. Don't just go to one news source. Please don't do that. Because I can promise you, if you go to one news source, you're going to get the slant of that one news source. You know, Scott talks about that stuff all the time. He said, if you listen to something that is always your opinion or a station that always says what you want to hear, then that's how you're not going to see anything different that you can compare anything to. So you need to look at both, and you need to do that. And I think that's very, very important that we do that. And I think that a huge thing is we need to start beginning our day every day and make sure we begin it in prayer. And to ask I did it, my service Sunday, if anyone caught the message, was on the Lord's Prayer. And it was on prayer, basically, and it was on Mother's Day and how a mother can instill those things in how she can instill those things that are in the Lord's Prayer into her children. And one very, very important thing is to deliver us from evil. You know, pray to the Lord during the day, Lord, please, keep this evil stuff from affecting me. And I don't just mean, you know, some particular person that's evil or some giant boogeyman. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about evil. I'm talking about wrong things in general that will affect your life, that will pull you back from where you're supposed to be. And those can be things that you see that you think, that's my problem with getting up in the morning and watching the news. Is because I can be planning a wonderful day, and like I said, by the time I'm ready to go out the door, you know, I've got Shirley looking at me and saying, man, what's wrong with you? Your mood sure switched fast. And can that be something good when that happens? Of course it can. Yeah, of course it can. And it may give them ratings, but I don't think that, I think that we just need to, I encourage you out there, and I know that people aren't going to like me saying this, especially if you're in that genre of news media, shut that thing off. I noticed something the first time, you know, I've been married 42 years, and I noticed something for the first time in our married life is when the news comes on, Shirley takes a quick peek at the weather and she heads to bed. And she was always one to sit up and watch the evening news at night. And or many times I've noticed lately, if she catches it at 5 or 6 o'clock, what the weather's going to be the next day, and listens to that forecast, then she won't even watch the nightly news. She'll just go to bed. And it's because she wants to go to sleep. You know, that stuff gets you all keyed up. You can't get to sleep. You know, God tells us to meditate on those things that are right, those things that are holy, those things that are good, those things that are righteous. And it's really hard to do that when you're watching the news all the time, because it just takes it away from you. And, you know, people say, it's harmless to watch the news. You know, you've got a filter and an opinion. Just use your head and push away the bad and take what you want and that kind of thing. And I said a minute ago, if you're going to watch it, go to more than one source. But what I'm also saying is, don't flood yourself with it, right? You know the old saying, garbage in, garbage out? Well, if we take in garbage all day, what's that going to bring out of us? What are we going to do? We're going to be maybe angry, maybe fearful, maybe anxious, maybe disgusted. I mean, if I walk around and Steve is angry, disgusted, fearful, do you think that people are going to like being around him during the day? Of course not. Or am I going to have a positive outlook towards people that talk to me, towards things that come my way? Of course I'm not. So my suggestion is, you know, get a good devotional. There's great devotionals out there, and they're not long. I mean, we have the Daily Bread in our church every Sunday that we hand out for free. It's 3 months of devotions every morning. You know, you open it, page one. It's like two paragraphs and a Bible verse. And how hard is that? You know, look at that, read that, be encouraged, and pray, and get on with your day if that's what you want to do. Maybe you'd rather just open your Bible and read it and spend some time with the Lord praying. Excellent thing to do. But do something positive in the morning. And this morning, Shirley left before I did, and I turned on some Christian music. And just listen to some great, wonderful lyrics of praising God for a few minutes, because I did not want my day to go down that road. And believe me, this day, everybody that could push my button has worked on trying to do it. It's been one of those days. You know that old saying, I had one nerve left and you got on it? Mm-hmm. Well, no one got on that one today, but man, it was dangling out there waiting for a taker. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's times that I got to double up on getting on my knees for the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, come on, clear this mind. I know you're in control. And that's something else we have to remember. Our God is in control and he reigns. People say, well, if God's in control and reign, why are things such a mess? Well, things are such a mess because of man, not because of God, and the things that we've done and the things we continually do. And this world's, you know, someone says, why didn't God stop that robber from breaking into my house? Well, the problem is, why did that person get to the point that they became a robber to break into that house? You know what I mean? God does not control us like we're robots. God gives us an opportunity to turn to him, to love him, to accept his free gift of salvation, and to grow with him. He is not going to make you do what you're supposed to do. Now, I will say this. If you are a believer and you're one of his, he may do a little bit of forced persuasion in some areas to get you to open your eyes and come back to where you're supposed to be. But this world is a difficult place for anyone to live in. And I cannot imagine today trying to live in it without God. I can't imagine today, and maybe some of the reason for so much of this hysteria. I cannot imagine today being a young person, a middle-aged person, or old person that does not have God in their life and is seeing all these things being thrown at them. Why would you have any hope for the future? You know, our youth, teen suicide rate is, I don't know what it is now, but it's off the charts. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And the point is, it never used to be that way. Yeah. And people say, well, why? Well, they don't have hope anymore. You take God away from their upbringing and understand God's the one that gives us hope. And you take that out, where's your hope lie? In your athletic ability? Well, what if you don't make the grade? In your academics? What if everything you pour all your energy into some at particular course of study and you don't do as well as you thought? Where's your hope? Mm-hmm. See, the thing is with God is that God designed you and he knows who you are. And as you follow and walk with him, you're going to be okay, because if you run into a wall and it doesn't work, you know that God's got another open door over here. And you know that as long as you are following him and trusting him, you're where he wants you to be. So it's no big deal. Okay, I ran into this wall. I ran into this stop. I didn't get this job. You know, I didn't. Okay, Lord, what are you opening the door for now? Now where am I going to? You know, and where's the Lord going to lead me? When you don't have that and you're out in this world and you run into a wall, you throw your hands up in the air and think, well, now what? What's the use? You know, I thought this, and then I have no reason to live now. I cannot imagine ever being at a point where you say, you know what, life's not worth living anymore. I think I'll just end it. Are you kidding me? Man, my God loves me. God wants me on earth to serve him. I want to be here as long as he's finding things for me to do. But if I didn't have that, and a lot of these people out there, they don't. They're living for themselves. They're living for what they can get every day. It's real interesting. The first thing that government's pretty smart, if you really think about it. When they wanted to put all these orders in immediately to get people to social distance. Now, once again, I'm not saying whether they should or they shouldn't. I'm just saying that's the situation. The very first thing they did was go out and send people money. Think about it. Every adult got $1,200. Some of those people didn't work. Some of those people lived with mom and dad. Some of these people, you know, my point being that everybody got it. And then, you know, with the unemployment, matching the unemployment by amounts far beyond what they were even making. And it's kind of like, look, they've well learned that if you dangle a carrot, you know, if you give someone candy, they're going to follow you. And that's how you initiate that. The backfire of that whole thing is the candy runs out. You know what I mean? And sometimes the carrot falls off the string. And then what are you going to deal with? But, you know, initially to get people's response, you do it through things, because that's the way our minds have been engineered. When we, by society, mm-hmm. You know, God says, God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. So God wants our heart condition to be right and us to follow him to do us right, and which is to love him, to put others before ourselves, to trust him, and do what he desires for us to do through the way we live, the things we do. I call it a God filter. People say, Pastor, how do I know what God wants me to do? I said, well, it's pretty simple, really. All you have to do is trust him, love him, follow him, read his word, be devoted to him, and you're there. Because what's going to happen from that point will happen as he uses you and directs you in different ways that sometimes you don't even know you're being directed. And you're where God wants you to be. I remember one time I was thinking to myself, you know, what's God going to do with me? And have I grown? Have I really done anything, you know, substantial for God? And I sat down and I was talking to a friend about this, and he looked at me and he said, Steve, he said, go back 10 years ago. Where were you? And I went, he goes, think of the things that have, and I thought, wow, I didn't even realize it. God had brought me so far and I didn't even realize it, because it happens in increments as you live. Mm-hmm. But you have to stay surrendered to him and do what he wants you to do. Now, in that same time, I could have kept grasping at everything the world has to offer, and I would be just as empty that far out as I was when I started, because it's a monster you can't feed enough. You know, it's kind of like pornography. Pornography is one of those. You know, people say, I can quit watching porn. No, you can't. The thing that's really bad about pornography is the image gets in your mind. Mm-hmm. You can walk away from a cigarette. You can walk away from drugs. You can do all these different things that you just stop doing. But the problem with pornography is you can close that book, you can pull out that movie, but the images of what you saw are in that brain. And that brain wants fed with that stuff. The other thing about that is that it never can be fed enough. People graduate. You watch these crime shows sometimes, and they'll talk about a guy that, you know, starts here, okay, I think he's graduated to this, and now he's graduated to that, doing bad things. Because what happens is the thrill is gone, and they got to bump it up a little to get more of a thrill. Sin always works that way. You know, people say, how can you prove there's a God? It's so simple in many, many ways. But one very simple one is that sin is something that you can never get enough of, and it constantly leads you to worse and worse and worse and worse bad things. Whereas surrendering to God does just the opposite. It brings you to a more holy place, a more place of love and care and liking other people and reaching out and helping people. You know, if you start and you do things that are wrong, say as a kid, you know, say you stole cookies from the store. And then that's kind of fun. I think I'll steal more cookies. I can guarantee you, if you stay on that path, by the time you get out of you're 18 years old, you're going to be incarcerated somewhere, because you can never get enough of sin. It just keeps going and going and going and going, because the thrill is gone. Now, if we are just an animal, that we're just a mammal, there's no God, we evolved, all these things, you tell me what makes that possible. The only way that we even know that there is sin is because the Bible says so. The only thing that we know there are those wrong things is because it's God's statutes that gave us a starting point. If you take that away, nothing's wrong. As long as I'm not directly offending you, nothing's wrong. You know, so you take out the importance and the wonderful thing that a marriage is, according to the Bible. You take out relationships between families. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody wants to be, well, I'm not bothering you. It doesn't affect you, right? And we just keep doing more and more. And before you know it, we have this whole society full of people that all they want to do is please themselves. All they want to do is get a few more of those endorphins popping, you know? And before you know it, everyone's being offended. And no one's helping anyone else. You know, it's just like I said a few minutes ago, when you look at the young people, and the problem with a lot of the younger people in this coronavirus is, hey, if it's not grandma or grandpa, I'm not worried about it. You know, we don't need those old people anyway. Why do we need them? We got to pay for them. And they're not doing anybody good. They're not earning money. You know, that's a modern socialist thought pattern. You know, you go back to an older thought pattern, and that is, you know what? Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa are getting old. and they took care of us. They helped build this country. We owe a debt to them, and let's take care of them. And that's why so many houses in the old days had a mother-in-law suite, they would call it. The reason they call it a mother-in-law suite is because dad's usually gone first. But and for whatever reason that is. But it's the truth. And when we just think of ourselves and what the world has to offer, it's a dead end. And it's always been a dead end, and it will always be a dead end. There's just no redeeming quality to it's all about me. And I think that's a lesson that we need to take out of this. I hope that people are taking care of other people out there and are, reaching out to those people that need help and encouraging people. And I do pray one thing that kind of struck me, and I talked on this the other day that I think is kind of important, is a lot of people are talking about faith more, and they're talking about God, and they're asking for prayer and these kind of things. Folks, don't let it die on the vine. As things get better, as this virus goes under a rock somewhere, don't let it die on a vine. Maybe this is the last chance that you're going to get in life to say, you know what, Lord, remember me. God, I need to follow you. Jesus, I accept the forgiveness that I've been given by your shed blood on the cross. Don't let that die. You know, it's so easy for us to go, we are a creature of habit. And it is so easy to go back to, well, that's over with, everything's going to be fine, and let's just get back on our normal routine. It didn't get that bad. You know, God must not have been too mad at me. I got through it. And, you know, don't go there, because I have to tell you, too, that, you know, God isn't going to be mocked. He says so. And if God has delivered you from a situation and you feel that he's delivered you, and then instead of coming back and saying, thank you, God, and I'm going to follow you, instead you go back and say, yep, that worked. I'll call him when I need him again next time. What happens if next time he says, you know what? Last time you blew me off. It ain't going to happen this time. You know, that's what you would do. Isn't that what most people would do? If you help somebody out, and they did not thank you, they didn't care, they blew you off, and then they came back to the well again, which we've all had happen by people, are you real anxious to help them? And even if you have the compassion in your heart to help them, you have to ask yourself, am I doing the right thing by helping them? Because obviously, it didn't help them a lot in their own compassion department. And I think God looks at us and he says, you know what, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to give you what you need. And if you don't feel that you need him, that's really the worst place you can be. How are we doing on time, brother?
Good. In about 12 minutes.
Well, Terry, you've been awfully silent tonight. Maybe it's because I haven't slowed down for a minute. But that seems to be my normal speed. Uh-huh. And that's just the way that's going to go, isn't it? But I want to do some encouraging while you guys are there. I do want to tell you that we will be getting back into the swing of things the 1st of June in the church in some form. And in the meantime, we'll be a park this Sunday. I don't know the following week. We're just going to have to play it by ear. Like I said, I really want to accommodate all of the people in the church, no matter how they feel about this virus or where they're at. I want, you know, there's no point in people coming if they're not going to feel comfortable and want to listen and worship the Lord. So that's really important to us. I do ask that you keep us in prayer as a church in decisions we make and directions we go. I know that this last week was our last Saturday night that we'll be doing the meals that go out. If somebody does need one, believe me, we will still accommodate you. But as a rule, we are going to let this thing wind down a little as people getting back into work and back in the swing of things and able to go to stores and that kind of thing. So, but, you know, I'd like to encourage all of you out there, pray for one another, reach out to one another. let people know that God loves them, because he certainly does love you. And I just hope that people really see some changed lives through this. I would encourage some of my fellow brothers in Christ to not be bitter about the situation. something. Bitterness isn't going to get us anywhere, whether you agree or not agree with a lot of what's going on. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to walk forward, keep our eyes on the Lord, do what we're supposed to, love people, care, stand up for your rights when you need to. You know, we were never told in the Scripture not to stand up for our rights. You know that the Bible tells us about surrendering to our governmental authorities, but that only comes into play until they do something that is against God, because God is far supreme over anything that government does. And I think that one thing that was recognized is when some of our people in political higher places, you know, have made the comment that, you know, we're not going to mess with the church, and we're not going to walk on the church's rights, because, you know, freedom of religion is something that has made this country great and made it the way that it is. And I fully intend on always standing on the side of freedom and always standing on the side of our rights to meet. And I think that God has done a great service to us by allowing us through, like I'm with you tonight, getting out there and sharing these things and doing these things, being able to do a live stream, being able to be visible in the community. But we need to be together, and it's you know, we need to figure out ways that we can encourage each other. It's very hard to encourage without being able to touch people, hug people, be face-to-face with people. And I ask that you pray that that happens and that we're able to do that soon, because it is so important that we do. And churches, I want to encourage you, if you're a pastor out there, let's get on our knees and get back to the Bible, to what God says. Quit worrying about, you know, what society says we should think or do or act. If you want God to honor this nation, to bless this nation, and to honor our efforts, we need to honor God. And don't expect God to honor and sustain the church and sustain this country if His people, which are called by His name, don't do it. And I encourage you, I don't care what road you've been down, I don't care where you've taken your church, I don't care what you've bowed down to, it's time to get up, get over, and get down on your knees. Open the Word of God, study the Word of God, trust the Word of God, preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, and watch people's lives change. Watch your churches change. Pastor, if your church isn't growing, and if you're not getting anywhere, you know, you only need to go back to, what am I doing? Am I teaching the Word of God? Am I studying the Word of God? Am I praying? What am I teaching my flock? Am I teaching them to love God, that His Word is true, that it's inerrant, that there's absolute truth with God, that He's the only way? He says no. Jesus says no one comes unto the Father but by me. Are we teaching that? Are we teaching God's sovereignty, that He's the ultimate authority? I hope so. You know, I think, I truly believe today, if America gets on its feet as the church and becomes the church once again, I'm not talking about a denomination, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, we'll see great changes in this country. You want to give our kids a country to be thrilled to raise a family in, rather than having fear of what they're going to be in? Then this country needs to turn back to God. And I encourage each and every one of you to do that. Let's go to prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight that we can be here. Lord, I pray for each and every person out there. I ask, Lord, that we see revival in Marion, Ohio, in Delaware, in Cardington, in Richwood, in all these towns around here. I mean, Waldo, they're everywhere. Big Island. Lord, we see revival. And we see revival in the world, that, Lord, people will surrender their lives to You and say, you know what? This stuff we're following in the world isn't working for us. We need to turn back to God, get on our knees, and ask Him to heal our land as we surrender ourselves to You. We ask this, Lord, in Your precious and holy name, and in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Terry, we're done.
Oh.
Where are we at time-wise?
Five minutes?
Yep. Okay, I've finished this, but I'll continue on with the show. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, as we as we continue to go down the road a little bit, that we need to keep the kindness that some of us have shown during this time. I haven't seen too many disputes amongst people lately, you know, other than social media and on the news. But, I mean, people in general, I think, are a little more polite and kind. Well, for one thing, they're not out doing anything.
Right.
What do you think about this, Terry? And I really want your opinion on this, why we've just got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Well, you kind of touched on the 2 points I was going to say, is that really there's no place for anybody to go to really cause any trouble. And the second thing is that, I mean, it kind of goes back to the first point, is that, you know, you're staying home, so you're just really not out, you know, and about. And a lot of the stuff that the mischief and stuff that they would get into, you would have to actually be somewhere.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, another thing that I really don't quite get is the things they're allowing to open and not to open. And
I've never understood that
from the get-go. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, you can't come to church, but yet you can pack Walmart and Menards and all these other places. I mean, you know, I've been in these stores. I know that people don't social distance. And now I will say this. I was in Harbor Freight yesterday, and I was in line, and the manager of the store was telling people to step back and separate when they were in line. So, in other words, he was making sure the people had the tape marked on the floor. Did that. But throughout the store, nobody was. I mean, nobody was telling you, you know, no two people in this aisle or this or that. So, okay, you've got that going on. You've got, we've all been to the other stores. We know what it's like. But the point is, so what's so wrong about people meeting at church? Or people, what's so wrong about how about the barber cutting your hair? That's crazy. I finally cut my own. It's butchered. But I had to do something. It was driving me nuts.
I know.
But the point is, you know, the barber puts on a mask. You come in and sit down. You're not facing him. You're facing away from him. He's got a mask on, you know. Let him step back another foot and cut your hair. You know, put gloves on and cut it. He can manage.
Yeah.
But you know, some of the other stuff, it just really, you know, I don't get this whole whirlpool. Have they closed down for 1 minute? And I know plenty of shops around town. I'm glad they're open. I'm glad they've been able to stay and work. But I'm saying there's places that are not essential in any way, shape, or form that through some loophole seem essential. Mm-hmm. And their employees are still working side by side. I was sitting in a drive-thru the other day, and I was looking at a construction crew across the street on houses. Those guys were working right over top of each other like they always do. And, you know, that's what's going on. So I really wonder. There's more questions out there than I think there are answers. But I'll be glad when they start giving people the freedom of doing what they want to do. If you're really afraid, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not afraid at all, then be one of the ones that begins to venture out. But make sure if you're staying home, you've got somebody that can do your errands for you until this thing's done. But I don't think we should stop people from going out and, especially families, from meeting, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I if we're going to do that, for crying out loud, lower the speed limit back down to 55 and save more lives than this virus is killing. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that.
Yeah, no.
You know, you can do that and not shut the country down, huh?
Right.
So why is this so critical when that isn't, or right, a million other things that are out there?
Right.
Well, anyway, it's been great here tonight. I hope we get through this soon. I love all of you. Tune in. We're a Community Christian Fellowship on Facebook. My Sunday message, you can watch it online. Or this week, we should be at the Prospect Park.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.